The Fatal Aphorism. Those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them, for me and you." Matthew 17, verse 24b through 27. At one time, the officials who collected the mandatory temple tax requested this tax of Jesus the Nazarene, just as of any other adult in Israel. Jesus of Nazareth was also on the list of taxpayers, and thus his contribution was expected promptly on time. This request by the tax officials caused a discussion between Christ and Simon Peter about the right to collect taxes from Christ. Christ knew that Peter would later become an apostle, and that he especially also had to see matters clearly, and for this reason Christ taught him the rudiments of the kingdom of heaven. "Simon Peter, I am recorded in the books of the people. What do you think? Am I also listed in God's book as liable to pay the tax of the temple?" That was a question of the Christ, and the answer that he gave a little later to his own question was this: according to the ordinance of God, the Christ really is not obliged to pay it, and neither are his crown witnesses, the apostles. For Christ was not a stranger in God's house, but the actual son of the Lord of the temple. And would a king accept taxes from a member of his own family, even from his own son? And in regards to the apostles, did they not dedicate their whole life to the service of the true temple? Tax is one thing, but life is everything. But then something remarkable happened. Christ said, "Yet, Simon, we will pay what they ask." Inadvertently, something in us will oppose this premise and practice. Should not the Christ at any cost have preached the full truth and maintained it? When he knew himself to be exempt, would it then not have been better if he had not paid the tax? We are even encouraged in our objection when we read how Christ motivated his position. "Let us pay," he said, "so that we do not offend them." All of this does not mean that Christ was afraid to contradict those officials or arouse their discontent. For the word "offend" here means cause to fall. Behold, that is the motivation. The pennies should be paid so that those people would not stumble on the way to God and be thus prevented to go straightforward and unhindered to Him. But exactly here is our difficulty. Do we not think that when Christ concealed this serious truth, when He concealed that He was the Son, the one who was exempt, He actually prevented the people to see the truth, and as a result they did not go straightforward to God? Thus, we would nearly become impertinent. We would now want to say, "He should not have left the officials in their illusion. It was his duty, frankly, to have drawn straight lines and not paid the tax, so that they would have known who it was that walked among them here on earth." And yet, if we speak this way, we see everything wrong. Of course, everyone is right who says that he who conceals necessary truth is indeed guilty of the falling of his fellow man. But that is not at all the case here with the Christ. On the contrary, it is exactly this that motivated him. And in reality, all of his dealings were based on this premise. Christ indeed wanted to say the truth to those officials, but in his own time. He did not do that prematurely, for every prematurity lays obstacles on the way for someone else. for also the tax officials were under obligation to the orders of the authorities. For this reason, Christ first had to inform those authorities who he was. Sometime later he also did that, namely, when he swore his oath before Caiaphas and Pilate. Thus his act becomes transparent. He wanted to save these tax officials a minor offense, so that they later could be placed before the greater offense, the cross of Golgotha. If these officials had to report at this time that he was unwilling to obey the law, they would not have been able to understand later that even over against Moses, he hung at the cross as the righteous one. If Christ before Golgotha, before his resurrection, and before Pentecost, in a circle of people, and not in the great and lawful assembly, or in a particular component, and not in response to all of Scripture, would have announced himself as the one who was free and exempt, if he thus would have used his freedom in such a particular instance, such an incidental case, he would indeed have spoken a truth, but not the truth. Then that expression, "I am free, thus I am also exempt from paying the tax," would be an aphorism, that is, an independent expression which is not connected to the context of all of Scripture, to the whole law, and to all of the Gospel. Then that one aphorism would not be connected to the greater context of the cross, curse, humiliation, resurrection, reward, and exaltation. The minor offense about a debtor to the temple, which, if it was not explained by the light of the full Gospel, would have prevented those tax officials later to stand with an unrestrained spirit at the cross. That major offense. Thus Christ indeed preached the truth, but never aphoristically. The aphorism is fatal. It still is. Every debate in God's house must always be brought back to the original core. As long as one does not redirect every question to the cross and to the resurrection of the crucified one, one will either strike or bless. But whatever way, one would then just strike air or fail to bless in faith. For also in preaching and in prophecy the rule applies, all or nothing. Thus God has ordained that we, his Christians, are not taught by dumb aphorisms, but by the living preaching of his word, not by words, but by the word.